get for your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, and we are here with special guest broker Jenny Witten. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
And one of my favorite guests from Hayes Electric, Dwayne Wart. Good morning, Dwayne.
Morning.
And you have one of your team members here with you, Chad Renfro.
Yeah.
Chad. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning.
I know you can't see where we are because it's radio, but Chad is across the table from me. I can barely see the top of his head of hair that I'm jealous of. Look at that. It's just sticking out beautifully. Gorgeous, man. So these are the Dwayne Wart is owner along with Alan Pruitt, who is traveling today.
Yep.
Alan, Miss Alan. And you guys own Hayes Electric, that just our go-to electric people. If I have a question, if I have something in need, these are the people I turn to. These are people our team turns to. So we appreciate you.
Thank you.
So if you want to call in and join the conversation today, the number to call in is 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. Dwayne, let's start with panels.
Okay.
Because there is a lot of fear, misconception about older panels. And, you know, man, there's... You go into houses that are being that were built in 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
And people going, are those panels still good? Can they still be used?
Yeah, a lot of them can be. There's only one that we really think you should change out, and that's the FPE panels.
Federal Pacific.
Right.
Yeah.
There is also Zinsco brand that, you know.
That's a maybe, right? And it kind of like.
I've only ever seen one of those on the buses actually ever burned up once.
That's enough.
Mm. Yeah. But it's usually your FPEs are your biggest one that everybody is really concerned with, which granted would be good to do, you know, go ahead and change out because of the fact that number one, the breakers most of the time don't trip. Now sometimes you can get some of them that got the newer style or rebuilt ones because they no longer make them. FPE lost its UL listing. And that's your big one that you want to definitely get rid of if you have that.
So what were the years that those were put into houses, approximately?
Several years. I'm going to say probably, from the late 30s to probably into the 70s.
We see them, in the 60s, 70s. It seemed to be a big push for the FPE.
So basically, if you're in a house before 1980, you should know whether you have an FPE panel or not. You need to go look.
Right.
And it'll say FPE or Federal Pacific on the panel.
Maybe. Yes and no. It depends.
Really?
Because I've seen them where there's, you know, they just had like the little tab that was on the inside of the panel, and that was it. And sometimes those are ripped off because they didn't have any covers. Now, like today, if you see your panels, the little, when you go to open them, they actually have either like Eaton or Siemens on them or Square D. You automatically know, okay, that's what I've got.
Okay.
FPEs, like I said, I've taken out FPE panels where they have no nomenclature. The only way I know is because I've been doing this 25 years and, okay, that's the breaker. I know which one it is. So if you're really concerned about it, it's not hard to call, you know, a shop out and have them come take a look at it and see what they think.
Yeah.
But like I said, most of the time it is probably time to go ahead and get rid of your FPE and put in a more modern panel with breakers that are a lot better.
So, listener, this is your task for today. If you are in a house that was built before 1980.
Yeah, take a look at them. Yeah,
just go look.
I'm not saying open it up. I'm just saying...
Visually look at it.
And don't just go with the first person that you call. You need to make sure you have a reliable company.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Because there are some that are out there that will just, you know, kind of, you know, it's okay. Or, yeah, you need to do that and then give you some exorbitant price. And I always say, you know, get three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, shop around. You know, don't just pick the first one and say, okay, I'm going with it.
Yeah.
You know.
So, and that comes down to, like, if you are a licensed electrician, now in Oklahoma, it's licensed, like, you have to have something in each city. Is that the, like, because there's, I know there's electricians that you guys are in, do certain areas, don't do other areas, right?
Right. Right. So, yeah, every city that you go to, you're supposed to have a license to work in it. So, like, for us, we have Oklahoma City, Bethany, War Acres, Edmond, Moore, Midwest City, Dale City,
Nichols Hills.
And all of those are separate. I mean, all of those are individual
licenses. Yes.
So when a listener is wanting to call an electrician, they need to ask just not if they're licensed, are they licensed in the city where they are at?
Right. Right. And the other thing you got to look for, too, is when somebody does roll up to do your work, so like us, we'll go out in our truck when we do our estimates, which are free. We don't charge for any estimates. They're all free. When we show up, we'll come in just a regular truck. No nomenclature or anything like that. I'm not saying who we are. Now, when our guys go out in their trucks, they have the name of the company with our license on it. Okay? That's what you need to be looking for. A lot of these shops, because, I mean, it's clearly in the for Oklahoma, they're supposed to have their name on their trucks with their license.
Yeah. 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 And there's
a lot of guys that are pulling up in these with their trucks and they'll say, "Oh, I'm a handyman." No.
Well, and I also think that we're forgetting too that you can also get it inspected by the city afterwards. People are worried about resale, and then they go, they put it on the market, they have this new panel, the home inspectors come out and they're like, "Where's your sticker?"
Yeah. And you're not, and that's the other thing too, is there's going to be times, let's say, for instance, you got a panel upgrade 5 years, mm-hmm. okay? That inspection sticker, more than likely, is not going to be there.
Nope. You're right.
It's going to be gone. But if they called the city to see if it had an inspection done on it, then you'll know. Because the city has all that stuff on their computers. I'd say paper form, but... Nobody does paper form very much.
I mean, they should just be able to call up and do.
Yeah, they can call up, you know, and follow the prompts and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, they won't plug themselves here, so I will plug. If you want to get a hold of Hayes Electric, go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's favorites. You'll see Hayes Electric right there because we use them all the time. Now, let me talk about what one of the things we see when we open up those panels. Well, when you guys open up those panels, because I don't mess with electricity.
It only hurts for a second.
That's enough. That's enough for me of it. Now, we find that, you know, the majority is copper wires, but sometimes we find, like, for a while they did aluminum wires.
That was from about 70 to 73.
Yeah. And do those have to be replaced?
The copper wiring or just the
aluminum?
No, the aluminum in the house does not have to be replaced.
Okay.
We just go, you go through and at that point in time, I'd say do it twice a year. Have somebody come out as qualified to double check and make sure because your copper, your aluminum will expand and contract from heat. So then it starts getting loose in there. So you want to have all your connections, your neutral and your hot on the breakers. You know, check to make sure they're tightened up.
Well, I've been told I have a few screws loose, so I don't know if anybody's checking my head whether there's aluminum wiring in there or not. But if you have aluminum wire, make sure that those are tight on there because it's that arcing that's the big danger with those, right?
Right.
That's why I love you guys. All right, we'll be right back with more here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are here with Hayes Electric, Dwayne Wharton, Chad Renfro, and guest broker Jenny Witten. And so let's talk about what happens when the power goes out. Mm-hmm. Now, Jenny, you oversee lots of rental spaces.
That's right.
And one of the most common things you get called about from renters is my electricity is not working.
Well, yes, and I want you guys to explain because we get several calls a year that come in to where they are saying something's wrong with my electrical. It's not working in half of my house. Why don't you guys explain what that is?
Typically, if you're losing half power, you've lost a phase, which can be from OG&E, definitely. But what a lot of customers don't understand is that your responsibility starts at the riser. Mm-hmm. So OG&E, they're going to bring their power in to the riser, which is that pipe that sticks up that everything ties to, or if you have an underground service, you're going to be coming from underground. So, but customers will call, and they'll be the first call to OG&E. Well, if there's an issue with the meter, we've seen them pull the meter. Well, now you have nothing.
That's right.
And so we got customers that, well, they don't like nothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nothing is bad. So the best thing that you can do is reach out to an electrician. Reach out. Most of them will come. They'll take a look for you. I know we do it all the time. And see what the problem is. If it is OG&E, well, we'll know real quick.
Right.
And then
right.
take that step. That way you're not putting yourself into a situation that it might be an easy fix.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think you just brought up a good idea with the a point to talk about with the riser in the meter base. Isn't there a limited time for you if it gets pulled away from the house before you have to update things? We've been told that a couple of times. So correct me. Am I wrong or is that correct?
No. If they see damage, they'll pull the meter.
Okay.
Yeah, they absolutely will. And, I mean, you obviously, anything that they see that's not safe, they're going to take care of it. You know,
right.
We don't want something to burn your house down. And, hey, we've seen it happen, all right?
I mean, oh, yeah.
we've seen it happen. It's unfortunate. But the best thing you can do, get somebody out there that knows what they're looking at. Let them give you good information.
Sure.
And like I said, they'll know if it's something OG&E or whoever your provider is needs to come take a look at. Hey, we'll let you know, and they'll come take care of it.
That's right.
What's the most common thing you guys see that the person does out there that is the handyman electrician that causes that causes danger in their home? I mean, that's what.
That's everything.
Probably a big one is, well, my 20-amp breaker was tripping, so I put a 40 on it. Because if 20's good, 40's got to be better.
Oh, I believe that. That sounds true to me.
Yeah, and we have customers.
That's American right there.
Yeah,
if 20 won't work, stick in a 40 and let her go.
Now, here's one that you probably don't realize. The old panels, they used to have what was called Edison-based fuses. And some people are going, Edison-based fuses, what's that?
Weren't they like bubble-looking?
What it was a little round, probably about a half-inch diameter, and it was glass.
Yeah.
Some of them have metal and a little clear glass in there, or someone have like a little button on them. So you get that. I have actually seen, and this is no joke, where the fuse, you know, was stopped working, and they took out the fuse, didn't go buy any fuse, they just stuck a penny in there and then put the fuse back in.
Ooh.
I've seen that. Well, there's no fuse then, because the penny's doing all the work.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, and that's where I think some of us who are just regular humans, not electricians, like the purpose of those fuses is to save you from major electrical power coming through, starting fires. Like it will pop the breaker
right
before it pops the end of whatever is connected to that power and causes fire, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So putting a penny in there.
Oh, yeah. You just made yourself a welder.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and see, the wire, you know, everybody automatically thinks, okay, well, you know, well, it's that wire there. Well, the reason why, like, for instance, number 12, we know that, yes, in the code it tells us that it is rated for 30 amps. But when you have it in Romex, which is where it's got your two conductors that are coated and one that's not nowadays, didn't have it way back when, it is only rated. You got to derate it down to 20 amps. But what they've actually done is they've done a test over many years, and they found out how long or what size amperage breaker to put it on. Okay,
uh-huh.
So basically they have it rated for 30 amps, and it's got to hold a certain temperature for up to 3 hours. Okay, and further. So if it goes over that certain temperature that they have, let's say in 2 hours, well, then it's got to go to the next lower size breaker so that you don't have a heating issue or anything like that. So the breaker should be able to pick up like heat and stuff like that. And when it starts getting hot, it'll trip is the biggest thing, or a direct short in it. So you just got to you kind of watch that stuff. But like you said, we've seen it where people, I mean, I've even seen them stick number 12 on a 50-amp breaker before.
Well, and I would think from the real estate, I know you see this, Mark, on the home inspections when they do the heat and air. And we're talking about breakers, and it may only require a 30-amp breaker, but then they're coming in and doing a 40-amp breaker,
right.
Exactly what you just said.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that wire's not rated for that. So now you have a potential fire hazard.
And they just spent so much money replacing that AC unit
yes.
that's not even wired properly.
Well, here's the thing there, though, is when the AC techs that are out there doing that, they're looking at the code. Well, they're looking at it as THHN, not Romex. They're not aware that they have to derate it. So they figure, well, hey, my book tells me that nut number 10 is rated for 40 amps. I'm sticking it on a 40-amp breaker. Mm-mm.
Really?
No. And that's where a lot of them that you see it in, or even homeowners that will do their own DIY stuff.
Yeah, with it. So one of the big problems, I think, I mean, that our modern society, we're adding more and more electricity in. And so some people go, well, I just don't have any more power in my box. What happens like when a house like starts to pull in more power than what the box is allowed?
Well, then you got to go in and say, for instance, you got 100 amp, all right, service. And that's what that panel is rated for. And it's got a breaker on it, main breaker on it, okay. What you got to end up doing is you got to go in and upsize the service anywhere, you know, to whatever you think, you know, you're going to need. So let's say, for instance, it was a gas house, which means it had a gas range, gas, you know, dryer, gas hot water tank. Mm-hmm. And then they decide, okay, over time, well, you know what, I'm going to go electric range. And I'm going to put in an electric dryer, you know. Well, right there, you're going to have to bump your service up.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, when you start going from one to the other, it's time to start thinking, hey, I need to be proactive. You know, I mean, I've seen it to where we've gone to homes where it has the old 60-amp services.
That's right.
And they put the ACs on them. Well, when that happened, when they put that AC in, they should have immediately upgraded the service right off the bat.
Well, and let me ask you this. Is it possible just to add an additional panel versus redoing everything? Say that you're older. You don't have you have a limited budget. Is it possible to do that and still be safe?
It actually depends upon the size of the service,
okay.
To be honest with you. You know, and the other thing is, too, once again, it goes back to how old is the service.
Right.
You know.
When you say the size of the service, that means from the electric company coming into the house? Or what does that mean?
The size of the service is what you have physically on the house.
Okay.
So if let's say it was a 60 amp. Okay. We're going to bump it up to 100 unless we walk in there and they decided to go ahead and change other appliances to electric. Then it's going to dictate to us what size we're going to put on the home. Generally, what we'll do is we'll go from the 100 automatically up to a 200 amp just to make sure that they're going to be more than covered anywhere down the road.
Yeah.
I did it in my first house. I was at a little old house, 100-amp panel. I got tired of everything glowing, and finally I was like, I just can't take this anymore. Just give me a 200-amp.
Well, we do a lot of them. We upgrade a lot to 200 amps. Yeah. So, you know, today a house that would be built today, the day of the 100-amp service is
gone.
You know.
So average house, you know, let's just say 2,000 square feet, new, being built, how many amps are being put in there?
Your standard going to be 200 amps.
200 is going to be the
200
average.
Is going to be pretty standard. You know, you get into the great big larger homes, and you know we've put 400 amps in houses
before. Yeah, I've seen that.
That was my next question, is what's the max you've ever put in a house?
The max I've ever put in a house?
Yeah.
600.
Man.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
I don't want to pay that bill.
But that's a big, big house.
So, and then what about like people who are starting to buy like electric cars and electric this and that, that are all charging stations? How does that go with this panels and all of?
Good question.
How do they in pulling in?
Well, most of the time when you're going to be charging is going to be at night.
Ooh.
Good point.
So we can talk about that in the next
episode. I think maybe we're just going to hold that one till after the break because I'm just curious. I've always wondered because I do not have an electric car and I've never driven an electric car, but I'm always curious of like, would I have to replace everything in my garage like in order to be able to charge it? And we'll talk about that when we get back right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with special guest broker Jenny Witten and our special guest, Dwayne Wart from Hayes Electric and Chad Renfro from Hayes Electric. Great to have you guys here. And listener, if you want to call in and be a part of the conversation today, the number to call in is 405-840-1000. It's 405-840-1000. And it is time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Today, our word of the day, word we've been saying a little bit, code. Code. So what is code, Jenny?
An electrical code is a set of regulations for the design and installation of electrical wiring in a building. The intention of a code is to provide standards to ensure electrical wiring systems that are safe for people and property.
Oh. Sometimes I feel like the reason for code is to get more money from me. Is what it feels like. But we'll talk about that. Let's finish up with this electric car thing because we teased it before the break. If somebody is wanting to put in a charging station at their house for their new electric car, what happens?
Well, when we get those calls, we automatically set it up for a free estimate. And we go out to look to make sure if they can even do it or what they're going to have to do it. We've had it to where points where it's just an easy go in, add the power for it, set the breaker for it. And they're good to go because their service is good enough to be able to do it. All right. But then there's been times where we've got in there and the panel's full. They don't have the capacity to even hold it. So then we've got to upgrade the service, which means changing it out, going to larger amps for the service, putting in the correct size panel, and then you go ahead and add the power. And sometimes you do it on a plug, or if it's like the Teslas and they got the Tesla chargers, which I believe it's the Class 2 one, which it comes with a little panel and everything like that. The biggest thing is that when people don't realize is that when you're doing an electric car, for instance, if it's the Tesla and it's the Class 2 charger, it'll tell them on there, you know, it's going to put out 50 amps, but you put it on a 60 amp breaker because that's what it's got to be sized at.
Okay.
There's a percentage that you got to be within. But when it's pulling that load, that's dead on consistent the whole time. Okay.
So it's pulling 60 amps all the time. So unlike your dishwasher that probably cycles through and pulls energy, then doesn't, pulls energy, doesn't. This pulls regular.
It's more like better one. So your AC, if you ever look at it, you're going to see it's going to have a minimum and it's going to have a max. Okay. When it first kicks on, it's going to be a 50 amp. It's going to kick at that 50 amps just for a split second. And then it drops down to that 30 amps is running. Whereas an EV car is not that way. It is consistent through the whole time it's pulling power.
Mm. Man.
Yeah, it's a purely resistant load. You have different kind of loads that are, you know, inductive, like a motor. You know, and that's what you were talking about. You hit a peak, then we drop back down.
Mm-hmm.
These car chargers are purely resisted. It's like almost like an oven, an element. It's just a direct short that's controlled. Once it goes to 50, it stays.
Mm.
That's a big draw if you have a 100 amp service. You bet. And so that's where we get into them. We've done countless. I don't know how many times we've had to change services. And, I mean, it's the whole shooting match. Now you're going to do a 200 amp panel. You're going to get, you know, inspections involved. And
how long does that take?
Usually a day or so. I mean, we can typically do something like that in a day. It obviously depends on, you know, what the
state of the service
is. Yeah, there you go. The state of the service.
Have you seen people buy an electric car before they've consulted you?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That's usually about 9 out of 10.
Yeah, we get to be the bearer of bad news sometimes. So, yeah.
Well, if you're thinking about an electric car, you might want to call Hayes Electric guys and just say, hey, do I have enough service for this in order to get this done? We have a special VIP call-in. Good morning, Becky Ivins.
Good morning, Mark. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Becky.
Hello, friends at Hayes Electric.
Hello, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Becky?
Hey, doing pretty well. I wanted to just kind of publicly thank you guys for covering for me. No one really tells you how to, like, slow down and take a trip or two and enjoy life. And you guys have really afforded me that. And also, at the same time, you've allowed me access inside my team's life still so that we can continue intense training the whole way. So I just want to kind of assure everybody out there that even though I may kind of move to the background here and there, that you're well taken care of with my team.
That is always true. And
yeah. Well, you guys have a great show. I don't want to interrupt you. I just wanted to say hi. I hadn't called in for a little while. And you guys have a great weekend.
You too, Becky.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Becky.
Bye.
Oh, my gosh. Love her. Love her. So she always is in command and has learned so much through the years.
She's so smart.
Yep, absolutely. Knows all her stuff. Now, let's talk about our word of the day was code.
Right.
And how often does code change?
The code changes every 3 years.
Okay.
So every 3 years, we have to go down and take a class.
Yeah. Continuing education. You can't even get your license renewed without having certificate of that.
We want that.
You want that. You don't want anybody working in your house off of a 1972 code book. Let's not do that.
So what are in this past change, what are the biggest changes that have occurred?
All right. So you have one of them, which in the 2023 code is it's going to be a requirement that any new builds you will have to have, if you have like a two car garage, there will have to be a dedicated 110 circuit for EV cars.
Really?
Yes. Now I think it's going to be 2026. The word is that there will be a requirement that there will be a 50 amp circuit dedicated in the garage for EV cars.
Huh.
Okay. Another thing is that they're going to require us for the 2023 code is that all homes will have to have whole home surges put in them. Okay, and then the other one will be let's say, obviously, your meter's outside. No one's going to put a panel, brand new house, put a panel outside. That's just ridiculous, you know, unless you have no place to go with it.
Right.
And so it's going to be in the garage. Well, then you're going to have to put a disconnect outside as well. And that's more for the firefighter. So if they get to the house and something's going on, let's say, you know, somebody's in the house smoking a cigarette and they fell asleep and it lit the house, you know, something on fire, all they got to do is go right to that disconnect and shut the power off and the house is dead.
Mm.
There's no power going into it.
I think you just brought up a good point with the surge. Mm-hmm. Explain what that is, because I deal with that a lot, especially in Oklahoma with our crazy storms.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, what the surge protector does is it basically catches transient voltage. You know, if you had, it could be through static, it could be, you know, obviously in Oklahoma, we see lightning.
Mm-hmm.
So lightning is, you know, really a direct strike of lightning is only God can protect that.
Right.
Since, right. You know, but what the surge protectors will do is they will definitely minimize any damage. And if it's something close by, you know, it takes care of it. It catches it and it stops it at that point. Well, that saves your electronics, you know, which, I mean, obviously today, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our refrigerators, our refrigerators
and the TVs.
You know, because opening the door to mm-hmm. see what's in there is way too hard today. But, you know, that surge protector protects all of our high-end equipment, you know.
We
our TVs, our computers, which everything's high-end today.
It
so, you know, I think it's a good code. And I think that it'll be something the manufacturers are going to build into the panels. So
which they already have done.
Yeah, we've seen some. So it's going to be a good thing. Yeah, definitely. Surge protectors, I'm all for them. They're a great investment. They're not that expensive. They do a great job.
And I think we all need to remember how expensive our refrigerators are now.
Yeah.
Very.
Especially that smart one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, for instance, I have it on my house. Okay, and then I also wearing my, like, for instance, my electronics, my TVs and stuff like that. I also put on a surge bar as well. I just double up. That's me.
What's the surge bar? The plugs?
That's where it's got multiple plugs mm-hmm. in it. You know, six yeah. or eight, and yeah. it'd say on there, you know, surge bar, and I have a little button on it and stuff like that. Or you can buy the plug too as well.
So in a panel now, there's kind of three things, and sometimes I get confused. I want to make sure I have them right, because you have a surge protector, which is like for the surge of electricity coming in. You have a ground fault protector.
Right.
And you have an arc fault protector.
And then you have an arc fault GFI protector.
Mm.
And that a combo of those two?
It is.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we got three things, and they may have – are they going to be like a combo three-in-one platter, or are they always going to be separate?
No, they're going to be separate.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Because it sounds like if you have an, let's say they make the panel all arc faulted, well, anytime it reads an arc fault, then the whole house is going to kill off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be each individual circuit.
I tell you, and I've talked to you about this, Dwayne, is that I've got an arc fault that I've got to update because it's driving me bananas. Because every time my printer, I go to print, it trips the arc fault every single time. And I have to go out and switch it off and back on, and then it'll click once, and then I switch it back on, then it'll stay. Then it decides it's not an arc fault, it's just a printer requesting more property.
Well, or there could be a small little area in that little printer that's causing it to tell the arc fault, hey, trip.
So I should do a sledgehammer to that printer. I hear you, Dwayne. I'm with you on that one. We'll be right back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Our special guest, Dwayne Wart, Chad Renfro from Hayes Electric, and it is time for our Smoking Hot Deal. Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the southwest corner of 122nd and Penn, on 63rd just west of Meridian, at 505 East Main Street in Yukon, and on May Avenue just north of Hefner Road. Our Smoking Hot Deal this week is right near college campus down in Norman. It is a two-bedroom, one-bath. Address is 408 South Cook Avenue. It's 800 square feet, built in 1963. Super, super cute. It's listed at only $99,000.
Mm.
So if this rings a bell for you, if you're, you know, you have someone that is great for first home buyer, it's great for investor, it does have multiple offers. And so you need to go see it today. You can give us a call at the office at 405-722-3232 or go to BeckyIvans.com, click on search listings. You'll see it right there. and all offers have to be in by 4 p.m. on Sunday.
That's a great deal.
It is fantastic, and it has been lots and lots of showings, and because it also has what's unique about it is it has a wonderful fenced-in backyard that is great. Great. So very nice. Very nice property. Go take a look at it at BeckyIvins.com. All right. We're talking with Hayes Electric, guys, and we're talking a term that gets confusing, I think.
Well, I have heard this term a lot over the last 2 years. They're talking about the bus on the electrical panel. I'm not even sure if I'm saying it right. Why don't we explain what that is?
You are. You're saying it right.
Okay.
Well, with your service comes in, you've got two legs of 120, and those attach to lugs that are attached to the bus. The bus is that copper bar that you have two of them in single phase, which you would have in a house. That bus is what connects your breakers to, and that is what you're protecting with your main breaker is the bus. So every breaker ties to the bus. So if you have an issue with the bus, you have a problem, because we've seen them, they'll melt down. We've had problems.
Really?
You know, loose breakers can be an issue. It's very important to make sure you maintain your panel. And you know, like you were talking about the aluminum, make sure connections are tight. That goes for copper also. You always want to have a good tight fit on everything.
And all of that's tied into the bus.
All of it ties to the bus. Yes.
You know, I don't think that we really get told a lot during inspections about how you should have your panels inspected. We get told, oh, inspect for termites. But nobody's really telling us to have your electrical inspected.
Well, your home electrical inspectors. Now, they are not a city inspector. Okay, most of those guys went down and took a 16-hour course or so. All right, or it's 2 weeks or something like that. It used to be 16 hours. I think it's now like 2 weeks. But they're going over lots of things, though. They're doing the plumbing. They're doing AC. You know, they're doing, you know, the roof and stuff like that. So when you see those TR reports, it may say you need to, you know, seek out a qualified electrician or a qualified AC tech or something along that line. They're just checking what the Construction Industry Board told them to look for.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we get out there, we'll check and, you know, give, okay, this is safe, this isn't safe, you need to do this or you need to do that, you know.
The way I explain it to most buyers was, when they get a general inspection, it's like going to a family physician.
Right.
That they are not, if you you think you may have broke your leg, you may go to a family physician and they'll say, yeah, you're not sure if it's sprained or broken. And they'll say, well, I think it's something more. They may do an x-ray, but then they're going to say, go see the orthopedic surgeon.
Right.
That's the specialist. And so that's what happens, because if a general inspector sees something electrical, they're not going to tell you how to fix it. They're going to say you need to see a licensed electrician to deal with this.
Correct.
One of the things I see in inspection reports all the time, and I think it goes along with the bus and all the stuff we were talking about, panel, is double tap. Mm. That is a term that
we see that a lot.
What is that, and what's the danger of it?
Okay, so a double tap is when they'll take two hot wires and they'll stick it on the breaker together. Well, you're not getting a real good tight connection for one. So what you got to do is you got to take those two wires off that breaker, and you take a stinger wire, you twist them together and nut them. I know some of the new guys, you know, the young bucks are like, oh, we got this, you know, new device that we can put in there. No, I disagree with it. I'm old school. I'm going to twist my wires and put my wire nut on it, you know, and then I'll stick it on the breaker. That stops a double tap. You cannot double up your neutral wires either, okay, when they're going into the neutral bar. They've got to be on each individual screw so that you can tighten them down to the correct torque specifications, okay? Grounds, you can double them up. You know, do I like doing that? No, not necessarily. Because once again, you know, you may not get it as tight, because there's really not a load on the ground. It's just taking any excess or the offset between in the panel. You want to try to keep that panel. What's the word
I'm looking for, Chad? Well, it gives it a path. That's what your ground wire does. It's not conducting. You know, the whole point of that is so your breaker will trip faster. It's a life safety thing. Well, and property safety also. So, you know, people don't understand necessarily sometimes that ground wire is not really doing anything under normal circumstances. But if you have an issue, that ground wire is going to take it back. Boom, tripped breaker.
Yeah.
And so.
Talk about grounding, because that is another thing that comes up.
Yeah. Especially in Oklahoma City. You know, our electrical inspectors, which we got great inspectors in Oklahoma City. You know, I can't say enough about them. They'll come and help us if we have questions. We've had them come to the job on their own time just to ask a question. It's a big deal. So, you know, I know sometimes we're at odds, they think, but we're not. we're all on the same team here. So, but no, the grounding is a big deal. You know, that's a big thing that everyone's going to be looking for. The code addresses it numerous times, and you want to be grounded, which is your grounding conductor is going to go. That's why you have ground rods. You know, in Oklahoma City, you have to drive two ground rods at least 6 feet apart, and it takes the unbalance, and it bleeds off any harmonics or anything that are on the line. There's a lot of the theory stuff, which I won't get in too deep because I don't know. But
I would say dumb it down. Dumb it down on why. Yeah.
It's a path. It gives amperage a path to trip the breaker. Mm-hmm. That is really what it does. And you also have bonding, which people mistake. We see it a lot. Yeah. Bonding and grounding they're really two different things, and they may seem the same. You know, people also kind of freak out because by code we have to bond to your gas line.
And water line.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
why are you taking electricity to the gas line? Well, we're not taking electricity to it. We are giving a path to draw it away from it.
Electricity and water, they always goes the path of least resistance.
Yes.
Yes.
And so if you have a house that has copper pipe versus PEX, then we have to bond the water line as well. Now,
because it'll go to the copper and not the PEX.
Right.
Because it travels through the copper.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and so like, for instance, Oklahoma City, if a house is in copper, well, we have to go to the water coming in, which generally we just go to the hot water tank because that's the easiest way to do it, because we also have to bond the hot side of that hot water tank as well.
Learn something new every day.
All right. So we just have about a minute or so left of this, and we're talking about electrical and water, and those two don't mix very well.
Not well.
And not well. One of the things that often happens with inspection reports is a outside ground fault seem to always be broken in some way, because I think water gets in to those outside receptacles, right?
Yeah, you see it a lot. They get corroded. You know, anything that stays outside, you know, even, you know, obviously the covers matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, today the little flip covers that we were so used to seeing over the years really are not even legal to use anymore. You know, today you have to have what's called an in-use cover, and it's got to be a heavy duty.
Yep.
Yeah.
To pass codes. And, you know, that cover blocks out. And nothing is
100%.
Yeah, we'd like to thank guys from Hayes Electric for being with us. Always love hearing from you. Thank you, listener, for being with us this week. Have a wonderful week.
All of your wishes come true. May each day in the month be a